Good morning. We're back. I'm Fast Eddie, and sitting here in the studio with me, we have Adrian Martin and Larry Stevenson. We are going to be talking about a book called Operation Plum. Let's talk about this book. Oh, I've got a title here. Actually, it's a subtitle. It says, The Ill-Fated 27th Bombardment Group and the Fight for the Western Pacific. So obviously, we're talking about World War II here.
Early months of the war, Eddie, and this bomb group, the 27th bomb group, is shipped to the Philippines as part of Operation Plum, and they arrive about a week before Pearl Harbor. Unfortunately, their planes are about 10,000 miles behind them in another convoy, so when the war breaks out, MacArthur is going to give them guns and tell them, you're part of my infantry, and their planes are going to get diverted to Australia. Eventually, a number of the pilots are able to sneak out of the Philippines by plane and by submarine and get to Australia, put the planes together, but the refueling stops on the way back to the Philippines are in Japanese hands. All of their buddies, the 1,200 members of their 27th bomb group that are left behind, are on Bataan and eventually will become prisoners of war and spend 3.5 years in the POW camp. But the pilots are going to have all kinds of adventures in Java, Australia, and New Guinea, and my partner, Larry, will tell you about that part of the story.
Hit it, Larry.
Well, when the group goes over, there are 1,209 of them. A year later, there are 20. So that's one of the awesome parts of the story, is what happened to the rest of them. And of course, some of them were left on Bataan as infantry, and many of those died on the Death March and POW camps. As far as the pilots go, they just kept fighting until they were all used up. But it gave the United States time to prepare for war, which is the important part of the book. And one of the interesting things is they pulled off a raid with B-25s, 10 of them, before Doolittle's raid. They flew longer distances, did more damage, and brought all 10 of them back. And nobody's ever heard of this raid. And of course, there's a chapter about it in the book. And in fact, on the cover of the book, depicts the raid, a scene from the raid.
Of course, at that particular time with Pearl Harbor and everything, it was a very dark day in American history, because here the Japanese had literally snuck up behind us and had done some significant damage. And it was important for us to try not to get too demoralized and to try to get things going in the right direction. In the late days of 1941, early 1942, there were some dark days in there for America and our military, but I believe we rebounded from it quite successfully.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about this book is that it ties together the first several months after Pearl Harbor. And most Americans know about Pearl Harbor. They know about the Bataan Death March in the Philippines. They know about MacArthur leaving the Philippines. But then it's fast forward to the Marines on Guadalcanal and MacArthur going on the offensive in the New Guinea. What they don't realize is for those 3 or 4 months, which are covered in detail in this book, it's the only place we were fighting on Earth, at least our Army and Air Force. We weren't fighting over in Europe. We weren't fighting any other place. And this book goes into all of the details, not just the 27th Bomb Group, but the other American units, and there were a significant number that were fighting during this period and giving their all until our troops got ready to go on the offensive.
Well, that's an important part of American history, because we were angry and we were sort of caught short, and we didn't have a lot of resources at the time. The American war machine hadn't quite geared up. Now, I'm sure that the pipeline was starting, but obviously we had to ramp up production. We had to train men, get material, get the convoys together to transport all of this stuff, and this was just starting, and the men that were out there on the front lines were buying time for America to gear up. And of course the infamous Bataan Death March, well, everybody knows about that. That was a terrible time. The Japanese just had no respect for prisoners, which is why there were so few Japanese POWs during the war. They would literally fight to the death, and that made it very difficult for our Marines and our infantry and everybody, our pilots and the crews and the bombers and fighters as well. The Japanese were very, very determined opponents, and they were well trained, and they were very capable of doing the job.
One of the interesting things happened the other day during an autograph session. We had a couple guys from Australia stop, and they asked about the book and told them about Royce's raid and the Battle of New Guinea and Charters Towers, etc. And they said, it's about time somebody in America wrote about that air war in Australia. Well, these are the guys that are fighting that early air war. And Australia at that time had many divisions that were overseas in Africa and other places fighting. And when the Australian people started to realize that maybe the Japanese were going to try to conquer Australia, and they look around and the only people of military significance running around are these 30 to 40 guys with dive bombers from the 27th Bombardment Group. So they were treated like heroes. They were treated, if they needed something, and supplies were very, very short. For example, if they ran out of a tire for the airplane, they had to use truck tires because there were none in supply. You know, industry had ramped up and shipped all these things to Australia. So they were very innovative in making repairs and adjustments to their planes. And the Australian people went out of the way to help them.
Well, you know, that was one of the common elements throughout the war, is that when there was a shortage, crew chiefs, mechanics, everybody improvised to get the job done. That was one of the great things about the American fighting man and the American fighting spirit, is that they would find a way. If they needed a tire, they'd find something that would fit. Whether it was an aircraft tire or not, they'd slap it on the airplane and, you know, off we went. Well, guys, this sounds like a very interesting book. Now, you've got a website, too. Be operationplum.com, and you might want to go online and check that out. I know when I get back home, I want to take a look at that myself. That sounds like a very interesting and much needed to be told part of the war. There were some very dark days between our first major victories in the Pacific and the European theater, and once again the men out there in the Pacific bought time with their lives for us, because Pearl Harbor was a mess and was going to be a mess for a considerable amount of time. And if you got, you know, I got an idea for you. If you guys ever run short of ideas, which I doubt, but it'd be very interesting to see somebody actually write a book on the salvage operation at Pearl Harbor. I've seen very little information on that, and that had to be a spectacular effort. But in the meantime, we're talking about Operation Plum. Don't forget the website, operationplum.com. It's subtitled, The Ill-Fated 27th Bombardment Group and the Fight for the Western Pacific. This, of course, happened in the early days of World War II. Gentlemen, I hate to cut the interview short, but the engineer is making all kinds of hand signs at me. We got to get rolling here. So,
Fast Eddie, we will be in the Sky Shop signing this morning from 9 until 1 o'clock.
If we don't get carpal tunnel syndrome.
Well, you know, the secret to that is to bring a big crayon so that you don't have to hold it real hard.
Exactly.
We're talking to Adrian Martin and Larry Stevenson. The book is called Operation Plum, The Ill-Fated 27th Bombardment Group and the Fight for the Western Pacific. Their website is operationplum.com. They'll also be at the Sky Shop signing autographs today. Go on over there. You might want to check the book out. And of course, I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to us live on EAA Radio at AM 1210, 100.7 FM, and on the internet at airventure.org/radio.